Father God, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for all that's going on here already. And Lord, I pray, I know Steve has prayed for this already, but God, tonight, God, would you just come with power, Holy Spirit, descend on the Rose Theater, and Lord, work in the lives of those who come tonight. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given us to do this thing tonight. Lord, I thank you for the vision you put in Dan Hogan's heart there, I think it was like 5 years ago. And Lord, I thank you for the fact that we have listened to you and we obeyed and followed. And Father, I pray for all those involved tonight. Lord, just bless them in every part, Lord. Technical, singing, drama, all the instruments that are being played. God, just be there in a powerful way. I pray these things, Jesus, in your name. And God, this morning, as we come to your word now, I ask that you just be here with us. Let your spirit continue to work here. And Lord Jesus, please come, preach this message with me. Forgive me my sins. Cleanse me, Holy Spirit, I pray. And Lord, just fill me up. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been in the Advent season, and you know that we focused in the last few weeks on hope, peace, and joy. And today, as we are so close to Christmas, it's the advent of love. And love is a wonderful thing. I mean, that choice to value, to care for, to honor another person, to put them before yourself. Love, I mean, real love, is inherently selfless, and it seeks to be bestowed on someone. And Christmas is an awesome time, of year, because often our love that we have comes across through the gifts that we give or the actions that we take, like a mother making a house or an apartment a home, or a dad taking his kids tobogganing to spend time with them as they have fun together, or children, teenagers seeking to help making the meal or clean up after the extended family has gone home. Yes, it can happen. It's a miracle. Christmas is about miracles. These are good things. But all of these things, they're gifts. Some of a material nature, others acts of service or focused time spent. I mean, who doesn't like getting a hug from the people who are most important to you, family or friends? And gifts that come are rooted in love. And all the feelings that come with that choice to love, that choice to act in a loving way. You know, our Heavenly Father gave us the ultimate gift in His Son. As Jesus is soon to come, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, He left glory to become one of us, to be born into the world that He created, born as a helpless little baby to teenage parents who were far from family and friends when the baby came. And Christ, Jesus, was born where they kept the animals. What would make God do such a thing? And I think we all know on this Sunday, it's love. Because God so loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever should believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Because God so loved you, He sent His Son. For the sin, to care for the sin that separated us from our Heavenly Father, so that we could be in relationship with Him. And as we are so close to Christmas, celebrating the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah, we must remember why He came. And at the end of the day, it's all about God's love. The choice God made to love you, to love me. But I can't help but think we have a really difficult time grasping how big this love is from God. Paul prays, we'll get it. Ephesians 3:17, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints, that's all of us, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. There is power in the love of God. And I believe God really wants us to understand His love, because He gives us so many pictures of it in the Scriptures. of his love. I mean, Jesus said, Matthew 23, 37, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Loving protection. Or the Lord uses the picture of a mother and a child. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. And then there's a picture of the joy and love of a couple who have been married. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. And there's this idea coming through in these pictures of a deep love, but also that you are his treasure. Jesus uses the parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. God is telling us what he values. And it's you. It's you. And the price paid for you, for me, is beyond what we can comprehend. Please know this morning, God loves you. But still, if you're anything like me, I bet you've had some thoughts about whether or not you're really worth it. You know, or there are times you might feel there is no way in the world God, Jesus, could ever love you because you just kind of keep messing up. You think you're not worthy. What makes you worthy? I wonder if you can remember your kids when they were small. Some of you might be there right now. Did your kids ever have a special toy? Now, when Kara, who's our oldest, who's now 23, when she was small, she had a special toy, Elmo. And she had an Elmo stuffy. And she loved that thing. She slept with it every night. She dragged it along with her most everywhere. And she was little, and she was close to the ground. She knew where Elmo was, you know. And he would get dirty. And actually, he got kind of gross. And so Bonnie would sneak it away when there was a window of opportunity to send Elmo through the washing machine in a pillowcase. And then we'd toss him into the dryer, and he would kind of, those big googly eyes would kind of clang around in the dryer until he was ready. And then we'd sneak it back to Kara, hoping that she wouldn't notice. And he smelt better, he was clean. And this all had to happen like it was a secret mission. Because if Elmo was missing for any length of time, our little Kara could get really intense, you know, if he was missing. But he'd come back. He'd be smelling better. He'd be clean again, but only to get dirty. Go for another swirly ride in the washing machine. And every cleaning took a toll on poor old Elmo. Where once he had been poofy, really soft, now he was pretty flat. I mean, you could still squeeze him, but he didn't really bounce back all that much, if at all. And his eyes, well, we had to color them in with black Sharpie. Because the black came off, and he had to be really careful when he did color them in, because you could make him look like a crazy Elmo. But why would we do this? Because Kara loved this Elmo, and her love for it made Elmo precious. And let me tell you, he became pretty ragged. to the common onlooker, he was ugly. In fact, at one point, his eyes snapped apart. And so he had one eye pointing off one direction, one eye pointing off the other direction. And he looked psycho. Like, it was scary. It didn't matter, though. It didn't matter. I mean, we glued them back together many, many times. But Kara loved Elmo. And Kara loving it made it so precious. And in those days, it was like, it was almost like Kara and Elmo went hand in hand. If you loved Kara, you had to love her Elmo, too. And really, this was pretty cool. Because Kara loved this thing from the time she got it. And even when it was at its worst, dirty, flat, eyes pointing off in different directions, she loved it like it was brand new. Elmo was of great worth in our home because of who loved it. And in those days, when we blow it, when we feel like we've gotten dirty and we don't smell all that good and our eyes are pointing off in different directions and we can't seem to focus, or we're feeling flat, we're feeling ragged, and we feel so doubtful that anyone could love us, especially the holy God of creation, that no one could ever love a screw-up like us, like you, like me. And I know not everyone has thoughts like that, but I think there's a majority of us here this morning that have had thoughts like that or similar to that run through our minds sometimes. Usually after we have done something foolish, and we get this notion to run from God, because who could love us now? And some think, who could ever love us? But he does. He does. God, Jesus, chose to love you, and you are his treasure. What Jesus did for us on the cross is the ultimate expression of God's love for you and the value he places on you. And when we have come to Jesus, when we have agreed with God that we need forgiveness and have accepted that forgiveness that has been made possible for us, that comes through Jesus and him paying that debt of sin on the cross, when we have bowed the knee to Jesus and taken him as Lord, when we are in Christ, everything changes. Ephesians 1:7, in him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, his undeserved merit that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, because you are loved. We are loved. And in Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit. We have access to the strength and power of God to do life. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. In Christ, everything changes. And yes, we have now the power of the Holy Spirit to draw on. And yes, there is potential for us to live freely and lightly as we move through this world free of the sludge of sin. But there's a reason we're called sheep. Sheep are not the smartest creatures on the planet. Sheep have a tendency to go astray. They tend to want to go their own way. And we mess up. And we feel bad about it. I mean, we say things we don't mean. We do things we really don't want to do, but we do them anyway. We sin. We feel bad about it. And actually, that's a good thing, because our hearts are sensitive to those acts of sin. And we need to confess it to God. Ask for forgiveness for that sin. If we've hurt someone else, we need to ask them for forgiveness as well. But to sin and then run from our shepherd is crazy. It is crazy. To try to hide from the one who loves us is foolish. And there is only one who wants us to run from God in those situations. And that's the evil one. That is Satan, who's called the accuser of we who are in Christ. Revelation 12:10. We need to come to God. We need to come to Jesus at those times. I mean, especially all the time, but especially at those times when we are ragged, when we feel like we've blown it, because it's with Jesus. It's in the love of God that life change continues to happen inside of us and for us. Do you remember what Jesus said? Come on, you know this passage. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." To be yoked together with Jesus is to be joined to him, to be in his love. And we've talked about being and remaining in the love of Christ through this Advent season. We've talked about living in the favor of God. You know, there's this thing that we do as Christians when we talk about the love of God. We have this idea of God's big love for the world, that it's for everyone. And we can be really good with that. But we can get a little uneasy when it gets real specific. That Jesus loves Dave Wilson. That Jesus loves Rich Worthington. That Jesus loves Duncan Brown. Wayne Hutchison. That Jesus loves you. That he loves you. He loves Madison Pilon. You know, Tim Grant, Eric East. We get a little uneasy at times when we begin to focus in on how much God loves us as an individual. It's a gift. It's a gift to be loved by God. And he gives it to you. He's chosen to love you. You know, when I was a kid, on the schoolyard, public school and all that, I used to hate breaking up into teams. I mean, I wanted to play whatever the game was. I always wanted to play. But I knew the picking of teams would come. And I was always one of those kids who got picked last. So it was never really fun. But as the years went on, as I got a little older, I was still not a great athlete, but I had lots of enthusiasm. And so I moved up the ranks of getting picked sooner. In fact, I won the sportsmanship award in my high school, or as my children call it, the happy loser award. But I remember so well not getting picked. And it's why for well over 10 years as a volunteer youth pastor, as a sponsor in youth groups, and then for another 10 years as a youth pastor, we never picked teams. We never picked teams. We always made them up ahead of time. But can I let you know something this morning? And I'm really hoping this is going to encourage you. You've been picked. You've been picked. Jesus said, "I want you. I want you." Back up in Scripture, John 15, 16. "You did not choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Jesus has called you. He's called you because he loves you specifically. And he wants to be close to you and do life with you. You are wanted. You are loved. And knowing you are loved can be so incredibly powerful. It can change your life. Do you know it? Do you know it? Do you know that you are truly and dearly loved by God, by Jesus? You know, in just a few hours, we are trusting that well over 1,200 people are going to hear this message, that they're loved by God. Many for the first time, that God so loved you, that God so loved them, that he sent Jesus. But this Christmas, in those quiet moments when you're at home, and come on, they come, they still come, even the Christmas season, and it's crazy and it's busy. In those quiet moments, would you take some time and sit down, and in the stillness, remind yourself. Remind yourself that God loves you. He sees you. He loves you. even when we're ragged and we're tattered and we feel like we're dirty sometimes, he loves you. You are his treasure. And this love, oh my goodness, what a gift that God chooses to love us. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you. Lord, I thank you for the love that you have for me. And Lord, I thank you for the love. Oh God, I know. I know because I can read about it in your word. I can sense it through your Holy Spirit, the love you have for my family here. And Father, I pray that every one of them would wrestle and humbly just accept that love, that they would live in it, that they would confirm it in their own life again and again, and allow that love, that grace that you have lavished on us to change us, to mold us, to shape us in the knowledge that we are loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things, loves us. Father God, I pray for tonight again. Lord, Holy Spirit, please come with great power at the Rose Theater. And as Dan and the dramas and Casey and everyone else who's involved tonight, as they speak and they lead us in worship and tell stories, and God, I pray that those who come who don't know you, and Lord, I know from years past that there'll be those who will come who have a Muslim background, those who may have grown up in church but never understood it. It was all about relationship. Lord, I pray that they will be introduced to you, and they will be, Lord, that you would lavish your love upon them. And Lord, that we'll see lives change tonight. On the night before, Lord, lives will be changed and you'll be glorified. Help us who are in your love and know your love to be a friendly face, to shake hands, to care and talk with people. But God, would you just work in an amazing way? I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.